From scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch.
Welcome to the From Scratch podcast. I'm Martin Cousins and...
My name is Nigel Payne.
Okay, no surprises this week in the fact that we are looking at another bit of research. Now, what makes this slightly different is the focus is on HR, and it's HR in smaller organisations, basically organisations up to about 2,000 employees. But I think that's still legitimate when you think that I think most people in the UK, for example, work for a small employer, don't they? I think that's the... I need to dig out the numbers. No,
it's absolutely so, right.
So this is the kind of experience.
It's smaller than 1,000 as well. I think most people, Martin, work for employees under in firms with under 100 employees, not 2,000. So yes, you're absolutely spot on. This covers 1,000 employees will cover the vast majority of employees.
Yeah. So there's quite a lot of interesting stuff in here, I think. Why have we chosen it? I think it's quite interesting around skills and the perception of HR, which I think might be, there might be a similar story here for learning and development as well as HR people. I think also this research talks to about 1,000 HR leaders and C-suite executives. So you get a bit of input from, you know, the kind of senior leadership team on their perspective of HR. So, you know, I think it tells quite an interesting story. I mean, I think there's most of them are in agreement that HR's role has massively changed in the last 5 years. And it's interesting that 32% of HR leaders and 41% of C-suite executives say HR's role will continue to change a great deal in the next 5 years. So I think that leaders, business leaders, obviously see change as being an ongoing and, you know, kind of accelerated state, really, for organizations. HR, not so much. But there's some stuff in here about the image problem of HR. HR is seen as an admin and process focused function. It may have been through a lot of change, but it's still kind of saddled with that. 39% of HR leaders think that employees are knowledgeable about what HR does. I mean, that's a massive amount of people that still don't know what HR does. So there's clearly an issue there for HR teams within the business to kind of talk about what they do. I mean, that I think is just not good enough, really, for a function, for you know, employees not to know what that a function does.
But they're also saying, what I'm saying, I'm just looking, Martin, at the report, and it says that HR as designers of experience, 83% of HR leaders say employee experience will be at the focus of HR. But if you talk to CEOs, that employee experience should be work-based, not HR-based. Now, I would think they would pretty disagree with that, much disagree with that. That if you charge HR with creating a great employee experience, then you kind of let the organization off the hook. And or you create an organization where all of the people-centric workplace comforts, engagement stuff is all being delegated to people other than HR in reality. But HR thinks it's their job. And I don't believe it is their job. Do you?
No, and I think this is quite interesting because I'm going to relate to what you're saying to another chart in this report, which says, are HR and C-suite on the same page? Right, what should be a top priority for HR in 2024? HR leaders, the top three, talent management, diversity, equity, inclusion, employee health and wellbeing. The C-suite, talent management, financial growth, efficiency and productivity. It's whose job is it to do what in the organization? And I think it comes back to what you've just said there. Who is responsible for, you know, doing this stuff, and where is the alignment? It just doesn't look this bit of research, I think, sheds quite a lot of light on the fact that HR is just not aligned with the business. You know, it's 2024. Business alignment's been talked about for donkey's years. But interestingly, you know, the C-suite are expecting HR leaders to have teams that have financial and analytical acumen, yeah? So they can really help drive the business. That's just an expectation. Interestingly, this research says that HR, you know, what do HR teams need? They say they need upskilling. The only problem is what HR teams say they need upskilling in is not the same as what the business leaders think HR need upskilling in. So there's kind of a lack of alignment in various places. So it all looks a bit fractured. And I think that's a cause for concern. As you say, you know, whose responsibility is it to do, you know, that kind of engagement work or the employee experience? It's concerning if there's a lack of clarity on the best place for that to happen in the organization. And that you've got two different groups of people saying, oh, actually, yeah, we do that. And then another group saying, well, actually, I don't see that as being your role. You know, it's just sort of, it looks a bit messy to me. Or am I reading it
full of contradiction? I don't think so. The other thing that doesn't come clearly from the report is the enabling and the supporting function of HR. It's like our job is talent management. It can't be. Talent management has to come from the business. They know who the stars are. They know what they need. And it's HR's job to put in the structures and the enablers to allow the business to do its talent management adequately. And that seems to be, I don't, maybe it's the way they frame the report. These things seem to be a confrontation. It's our job. No, it's my job. No, it's your job. When it really should be, the business has all of that. And HR prioritizes supporting them to get that going. Like employee health and wellbeing, that's third on the HR list, way down on the CEO list. And in some ways, health and wellbeing should be HR monitoring and the C-suite acting, because HR can't make healthy employees or make the jobs better, but they can alert the C-suite to the fact that there are major problems here and that something has to be done. So it's that relationship that seems to be at the heart of the problem. It's like there isn't a relationship. It's just, this is mine, this is yours. Whereas it should be, this is all yours. I accept that the C-suite have all of the responsibilities, but we take the load on many of these and we help, but we also have a role in crying out, drawing attention to, making sure they've got the right metrics and the data to be able to draw attention from the C-suite. So is that a problem? I think that is a major problem. If genuinely this reflects HR, that it sees itself as being in charge of, not enabling and facilitating, there are some issues, pretty basic issues coming up.
Yeah, I agree with you. I wonder whether it's in some of this is in the design of the survey. When in actual fact, the proposition or the questions are coming from a place where these are the answers you would get. And actually, there is no option to answer this differently to kind of tell the story that you're telling. I wonder if that's a part of it. But I think there is an issue around the sort of whole value and impact for HR. I think it's really hard if the function is slightly at loggerheads and misaligned, then it's going to be really hard to demonstrate its value and impact. And it's going to be really hard to talk about its narrative as an enabler and supporter to the rest of the business. I think it's all, that's all wrapped this up. I just think it needs to be disentangled.
If you look at the page, well, they've got this HR paradoxes page at the end of, towards the end of the report. And they say 86% of HR leaders say they're speedy and agile, while 63% of the C-suite see HR's role as only administrative. Now, these are massive, massive gaps. 91% of HR leaders feel they have the skills to be CEO. 13% of HR leaders are prioritizing financial performance. So 91% say, I should be CEO, but I don't have a clue about finances. 57% of HR leaders say they love working in HR, but 62% say, I can't wait to get out of HR. So that there are these really big contradictions coming down the track. And the last one, 86% of HR leaders say they're speedy and agile. 63% of C-suite think they should be administrative. That to me is like a whole world clash. And in that, you can see some real tensions in organizations. So in some ways, the report does us a disservice in that it doesn't quite get at that relationship between C-suite and HR. On the other hand, it does a huge service to everyone by revealing to us some of the hidden assumptions and the hidden paradoxes around the role of HR. So people should read it. You think? Yeah. You agree?
Yeah, I agree. And before we wrap up, I'd like to, I hope you don't mind me saying this, but we've recorded this on Riverside FM, new bit of tech. And Colin Steed is kind of producing it in the background for us. So, and this is a whole new world because normally Nigel and I are on Zoom. So Colin, thank you. I know you're in the background, but thank you so much for helping us out with that. And we'll see what Riverside can do for us. So if we sound absolutely amazing in a way that we've never sounded amazing before, then we know who to thank. Right, let's leave it there. Thanks, Nigel. Good conversation as ever.
And thank you, Martin. And indeed, we do know who to thank. Good to talk. From scratch.